Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 19th day of July, 2021. And I am always thrilled to have back on the program one of my favorite guests. If you listen to this program with regularity, you definitely have recognized his name by now because of the frequency with which I interview him. And there's a reason for that. I think he's one of the most brilliant and well-informed guests that I have on the program. His name is Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. He is an author, and he is the pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. We are addressing part four of a series that we began several months ago on proper heroes put in their proper place in the lives of Christians. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
With you, Chris. It's a privilege and enjoyment.
And I can echo those sentiments very loudly, brother. And tell our listeners about Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia.
Heritage Presbyterian Church is a small congregation. It's a part of a small denomination called the Reformed Presbyterian Church, Hanover Presbytery. We are thoroughly evangelical, thoroughly reformed. We believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. We're committed to our doctrinal statement is the original Westminster Confession of Faith and catechisms. We're 100% committed to the carrying out of the Great Commission of bringing the gospel to the nations and bring the discipline of the Word of God upon the nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that Christ has commanded us. We, our people come from a variety of places, some of them about a mile away from the church, some of them 3.5 hours from the church. And we continue to draw new people, and they are a loving, friendly congregation that know why they're there at that particular church.
Well, praise God. And I can tell you, in all honesty, that there seems to be a growing fan club in my audience, of people who view you as their favorite guest on my show. I hear regularly, especially when news gets out that I'm interviewing you again, people who I don't even know personally who are sending me emails and Facebook posts telling me how much they appreciate you and consider you their favorite guest on Iron Sharpens.
Well, that's wonderful. I appreciate that. That's encouraging.
If anybody wants to find out more about Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, go to heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. And I always want to take advantage of the fact that you have written an 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism called Authentic Christianity. And I always want to squeeze into the program a promotion for that valuable 8-volume series. Why don't you tell our listeners about it?
Well, it took me 400 sermons to get through most of the Westminster Larger Catechism, which was written in the 1640s along with the Westminster Confession and Shorter Catechism, and represents, in my opinion, biblical Christianity in its purest human expression. And it is worth reading, no matter what denomination of Christians you are. You can learn a great deal by studying those documents, particularly the larger catechism, which is lengthy. And it's a series of questions and answers. Questions are asked, and then biblical answers are given with scores of scriptural references as footnotes. And it is worthwhile to study. It deals with every aspect of theology, every aspect of ethics, and can give somebody a consistently Christian worldview. And you can get it on where can you get it, Chris?
You could go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com.
And there's another website called comprehensivechristianity.com that has a bunch of my books on it, and one we just came out with last week called How to Study the Bible Biblically.
Great. We actually did a several-part interview on that subject a while ago.
Yes, sir, we did.
By the way, I want to just quickly read, for those of you who have never heard, this commendation for the 8-volume commentary. I am sure that many, perhaps even most of my listeners, are very familiar with Dr. Joseph Pipa, president of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. But he said of this commentary series, every Christian who is serious about the Reformed faith and about the Westminster Standards should have and use this set. It is much more than an exposition of the larger catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. And coming from somebody the likes and the caliber of Joe Pipa, that is quite a commendation.
Sure is.
Well, I want to give our listeners our email address right away if they have questions they'd like to provide. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Well, we have covered a lot of church history in the 3 previous episodes of our series that we've been conducting with you on proper heroes put in their proper place in the lives of Christians. It's kind of funny when I think about how when I did our first interview, I was thinking maybe we would do 1 or 2 episodes on this, but the subject matter is so deep and rich and vast and wide that I think that we could continue even after today with several more interviews. And in fact, we could do a whole year of interviews like this
and never
exhaust the topic. But the last time we spoke, we reached a point in history where we covered your heroes known as the Covenanters, the Presbyterians who were persecuted greatly by the Anglican Church in Scotland. And if you care to say anything else about that before we move on to...
In the 16th and 17th century, God brought a great revival and reformation and spiritual renewal to Scotland. And in the early part of the last part of the 16th century, God transformed the church in Scotland so that it was reformed and Presbyterian with a small P. When I use the word Presbyterian, it's not with a capital P. I'm not talking about denominations. I'm talking about the idea where the elders of the church are elected by the people to obey and administer the word of God and Holy Scripture. The kings of England, as you can imagine, hated that because they saw themselves as the head of the church and the state. And so by the 1600s, the 1660 and afterwards, the war between the kings of England and the Scottish Presbyterians were at an all-time high, and the kings of England decided to wipe them out. And so from 1660 to 1688, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of men, women, and children were martyred, exiled, driven into poverty because they would not submit to the principle that Christ, not man, is the head of the church or the king of the church. So there's great books on them and all kinds of names. But the first book I ever read on them is a short paperback you can't get through without crying, called Fair Sunshine, Fair Sunshine by Jock Purvis. And so that gets us through most of the 17th century and brings us to the 18th century. Now, after the 17th century, I will have to say, I don't have as many heroes between 1700 and 2021 as I did before 1700. But there are some great heroes that we can model our lives after in the 18th, 19th, and 20th, and 21st century. And as we said before on each program, heroes are important for Christians. We need, and our children need, to have heroes in their lives, men and women of great courage and sound faith who are willing to stand for Christ when everybody else is caving in and when it's difficult to stand for Christ. Because we're drawn to heroes. And our children today, and not just children but young adults, are drawn to heroes out of politics and movies and celebrities that shouldn't be our heroes. They're anti-heroes. And so I've been trying in these programs, which I really appreciate you doing, to provide for your hearers models and heroes that are worthy of our admiration. And we can learn from their mistakes, we can learn from their strength. And in the 1700s, there were some great heroes. I want to talk about four in the 1700s, although there's more. I want to recommend a book. There is, during our War of Independence, there were great heroes in the church. And we don't have time to talk about all of those, but there is a book that I would recommend to your people called The New England Pulpit and the American Revolution. The New England Pulpit and the American Revolution. And it's about the pastors in the 1776 that preached politics, resisted tyranny, and founded a nation on the Word of God. It's written by a woman. It's an older book, but it's been reprinted by American Vision. And it's written by a woman called Alice B. Baldwin, B-A-L-D-W-I-N. You can get it at American Vision Press. But the first person I want to talk about in the 18th century is George Frederick Handel, H-A-N-D-E-L, one of my all-time favorite heroes. In fact, every Sunday morning, before I leave the house to go to church, I'll listen to about an hour of George Handel's music, the same songs over and over again. He's the one that's most famous for writing Messiah, which everybody knows, all Christians in the English-speaking world know some piece of. But I want to say something about Handel that most people don't realize. He worked together with a wealthy aristocratic evangelical named Charles Jennens, J-E-N-N-E-N-S. And Jennens picked out a series of scripture passages that he wanted Handel to write the music for. And so whenever you hear Handel's Messiah produced, Handel wrote the music. Charles Jennens picked the scripture passages. Somebody asked Handel one time why he thought his oratorio Messiah was so successful. And he said, because all the words in it are God's words.
Amen.
And they sing by themselves. And you look at these, if you had a program, the first time Handel was performed in Ireland, and you look at a program, it's like a gospel track. If you see the flow of what's sung, when, what passages are used, and it goes from point to point, and it's pretty much the same series of points you would use when you're presenting the gospel to somebody. And the reason Jennings and Handel conspired to write the Messiah, the oratorio Messiah, was to refute the Enlightenment. They hated humanism. They understood what the Enlightenment was. They began in the last part of the 17th century. Handel, by the way, lived from the early 1700s to the late middle 1700s. And that was called the Enlightenment. I call it the Endarkenment. When Europe left its Christian base and sought to build itself upon man as the measure of all things, built itself upon a principle of revolt against Almighty God, it was the beginning of the secularization of the West, and Handel and Jennings saw right through it. They knew exactly what it was, even though it gained the popularity. So they worked together to put verses together on the most powerful music to communicate the answer to the Enlightenment. So whenever you listen to Handel's Messiah, understand they didn't write it just for pretty music. They didn't write it just to entertain people. They wrote it to refute secularism and to refute the humanism of the day.
Praise God.
I mean, it is magnificent. Of course, the one part of it that everybody knows about is Hallelujah Chorus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody knows that. But they don't know where it is in the whole piece of music. Normally, when you get to Handel's Messiah, people sing Handel's Messiah today, they think it has to do with the Second Coming. Talk about King of Kings and Lord of Lords and hallelujah, it's the kingdom of this world become the kingdom of the Lord and His Christ. And so it's usually thought of as having to do with the Second Coming, and sometimes it's thought of as having to do with the Incarnation, so it's sung around Christmas. But anybody that says that has never really thought through where it appears in Handel's Messiah. Handel has prophecies at the beginning concerning the birth of Christ. Then he talks about the virgin birth, the Incarnation, and starts right from the beginning, goes through the suffering of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. And then he has a section in which he has songs sung about the spread of the gospel and the impact of the gospel upon the world. The great line that from the Psalms, great is the company of the preachers, and how beautiful are the feet of those who spread the gospel throughout the world. And he comes to Psalm 2, and he has a piece on the kings rebel against Christ, and those who do not receive the gospel, Christ will destroy with his own scepter. And there's no time between that and the Hallelujah Chorus. It says in so many words that Christ is king, and he shall destroy the rebellious nations of the world. Hallelujah! And so that's where it appears. It appears right after the success of the preaching of the gospel. And so Handel and Jennings understood exactly what they were doing. This great highlight of Handel's Messiah was sung in connection with God sending the preached word all over the world, and the word having its impact upon the world, and those nations that refused to submit to it, he destroyed. In other words, it's post-millennial through and through.
I was going to ask you, was Handel a conscious post-millennialist, but I guess at that time the phrase was not even in vogue, right?
The phrase wasn't in vogue, but he knew what he was doing. In fact, I have a sermon called How Handel Handled Scripture. And he knew hermeneutics. He knew what he was doing the whole time. In fact, many, many years ago, 40-some years ago, I was in a man's house, and I saw on his coffee table an old book, leather-bound book of John Newton, you know, that wrote Amazing Grace, John Newton's sermons on Handel's Messiah, because they were sung in England the same time he was writing the sermons on them. So he wrote a sermon on every scripture text in Handel's Messiah, and of course that's all there is of scripture. So I knew then, 40 years ago, I was going to do that someday. So a year or two ago, I preached a sermon on every scripture text used in Handel's Messiah. And those are all available for free. Those are all available on sermonaudio.com. The sermons on Handel's Messiah.
And he was a Lutheran, was he not?
Well, he was German, and so all Germans were Lutherans. So Lutheran means the state church. The title isn't Lutheran, but it's Lutheran in doctrine. And yes, he was. But he also wrote music for the coronation of the British kings and queens. So in the early middle 1700s, he wrote a series of coronation anthems that have been used at the coronation of the English monarchs to this very day, and will be used in the coronation of the next monarch. I remember when I was a little boy in about 1953 or 4, when Queen Elizabeth's father died, and this young woman named Elizabeth was crowned Queen of England. Now, we had a television, but it was black and white. It was the only television on our dirt road. And it was black and white, and I didn't know anything about history. I was just about 6 or 7 years old. But throughout all my life, I never got over watching that or hearing it. And the greatest of the coronation hymns is based upon what happened in 1 Kings. Now, this I do listen to every Sunday morning, too. Gets my blood stirred. It's called Zadok the Priest. So it's based, and Handel was always taking his music from biblical stories. And he understood typology. And he understood the various personages and events in the Old Testament and how they were types of Christ. So in the first chapter of Kings, Zadok, who is the high priest in Jerusalem, and Nathan, the prophet, he's the one that rebuked David for his immorality. Zadok and Nathan coronated Solomon king of Israel. And here's what it says in those verses. Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, anointed Solomon king, and the people rejoiced and said, "Long live the king," and the earth shook. So, Handel takes those words and writes this coronation anthem, and here are the words in it. Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, anointed Solomon king, and the people rejoiced and said, "Long live the king." And the music, when the music is played at that point, the earth does shake. It starts out very slowly, and then it reaches a high point, and when the crowning of the king takes place, it just shakes your whole being. Now, why did Handel pick that particular obscure story?
In fact, could you pick up right where you left off? Don't forget where we left off, because we have to go to our first break. The earth shaking. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address again is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III on part 4 of proper heroes put in their proper place in the lives of Christians. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Fellowship with one another as we're walking in the light.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vody Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Fellowshipping with a family.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York. and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, today is the day we are conducting part four of a series of interviews we began several months ago with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. The theme has been and continues to be proper heroes put in their proper place in the lives of Christians. If you have a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. I just, before we return to Dr. Moorcraft, we're picking up on his reference to the earth shaking. This detour may sound strange in the midst of a serious conversation, but I think it is a very appropriate thing to read, a very refreshing and surprising thing to read during a topic like proper heroes put in their proper place. I'm sure most of our listeners are in some way familiar with the professional wrestler known as Hulk Hogan. His real name is Terry Bollea, and I may be mispronouncing that. But I would love to find out what is going on in his life, because what he has said in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic hysteria is fairly profound, especially coming from the lips of someone who is a globally known and adored celebrity. He said, in reference to the coronavirus shutdowns, in 3 short months, just like he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. God said, you want to worship athletes? I will shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I will shut down civic centers. You want to worship actors? I will shut down theaters. You want to worship money? I will shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church and worship me? I will make it where you can't go to church. I thought that was pretty profound, especially coming from somebody of the celebrity of Hulk Hogan.
Man, that is something, I'm telling you.
So I thought it was a very proper thing as we discuss heroes. But if you could pick up right where you left off, the earth was shaking.
Well, I was talking about the coronation anthem that Handel wrote in the 1700s, that every king and queen of England has been crowned with the music playing since then. And the next king of England will also have that be played at his coronation, whether he believes it or not. And I just want to remind everybody that it's based upon the story of the first chapter of 1 Kings, where Zadok the high priest and Nathan the prophet anointed Solomon king. And then it says in the text, the 1 Kings, it says, and the people rejoiced and shouted, long live the king, and the earth shook. That is, they were so thrilled with joy, and they're singing and praising God for the anointing of Solomon was so great that the earth shook. Now, Handel knew that that was a type of Christ. He knew that this coronation of the king of Israel, who was a type of Christ, though not perfect, that the coronation of the king of Israel was a type and symbol of the coronation of Christ, the king, when he arose from the dead and ascended to God's right hand, where he rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so that is what is sung at the coronation of every monarch of England upon their coronation. And the reason that Handel wrote it is because he was reasserting Christendom in the face of the Enlightenment. He wanted people to remember this is a Christian nation, that the monarch of England must commit him or herself to distinctively Christian values and institutions. And so it wasn't a misuse of scripture at all. It was a powerful testimony on the part of Handel calling England to Christ and to his kingdom and the kings and queens of England to rule in his name and under his authority. And the music is so powerful. It starts out very mildly. But then when the crown is placed on the monarch's head, the music, you better have your television turned down because it shakes the whole room. And you can hear Zadok the Priest and watch it on YouTube. Just go look up Handel, Zadok the Priest, and I listen to it every Sunday. So he wrote, I don't know how many operas and oratorios, many of them based upon biblical stories, and Messiah is, I think, the best musical presentation of gospel ever written. So if I, what I recommend is go get a good copy of Handel's Messiah. Get the one we use every Sunday, we listen to every Sunday, where Robert Shaw of the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra is the conductor, and listen to it with your whole family. And then after you've listened to it, every few days, listen to my sermon on text, and then listen to the text again. And the impact of George Frederick Handel, German who moved to England, is just overwhelming to me. And now let me tell you about John Newton. John Newton preached a series of sermons on all the texts of Handel's Messiah, but he was always criticizing it. And he wasn't criticizing the text, and he wasn't criticizing the message. He was criticizing people who sang it and who listened to it simply for pure entertainment's sake. And when I listen to choirs like Mormon Tabernacle Choir sing Hallelujah Chorus, I mean, do they know what they're singing? What they're singing is refuting everything about Mormonism. And a humanist. A humanist sing Hallelujah Chorus and all the other parts of Handel's Messiah. And they don't mean what they're singing. It's just a pure musical performance for which they're going, in fact, they're going to be held accountable for it. As a matter of fact, some of the texts that Handel uses in Messiah, when humanists sing it, they are singing curses on themselves. And so I recommend Handel as a hero. There is a book. I just got it yesterday. I read pieces of it. But it looks good. It's, I don't know the author. It's called Messiah, A New Look at the Composer, the Music, and the Message by a man named, or somebody named N.A., and his last name is spelled W-O-Y-C-H-U-K. W-O-Y-C-H-U-K. Messiah, A New Look at the Composer, the Music, and the Message. And you can get all of, you can listen to and watch all of Handel's music on the internet, on YouTube. Just go to Handel, look up Handel, Handel's music, and you can listen to everything. And it's a great blessing to me every Sunday morning for about an hour before I leave the house to go to church.
A little bit of trivia for those of my listeners who love listening to the late R.C. Sproul's radio program, Renewing Your Mind. The theme music is Sinfonia, or from Sinfonia, which is a portion of Handel's Messiah.
That's great. I didn't realize that.
And also, I thought I'd let you know something encouraging, and you actually have planted a seed in my mind to get our mutual friend, our dear, dear mutual friend of many years, several decades, Bill Shishko, formerly the pastor of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Franklin Square, Long Island, New York, now pastoring The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church plant in Deer Park, Long Island, New York. For years, I would say at least 3 years in a row, maybe even more years than that. But every Christmas season, when I worked for WMCA Radio, a New York City affiliate of Salem Media, which is the largest Christian radio network in the world, every year, Bill Shishko and I would travel into New Jersey, where the studio used to be for WMCA, and we would record a two-hour, and in fact, I think sometimes it was 3 hours, special on Handel's Messiah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And Bill is so brilliant at hosting and producing radio material that I never had to stop the reel-to-reel quarter recorder, which is what we used back then. I was on one side of the studio, on the engineer's side behind the glass, and Bill was on the other side, and he would just give me hand gestures when to start and stop the music that would play in between Bill's narrations of what Handel meant by the certain specific stanzas, the main stanzas throughout the Messiah, and he would just gesture me to start playing the music, he would gesture me to stop, and by the time we were very near to the end, Bill would be saying, "This has been Pastor Bill Shishko of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Franklin Square, Long Island, New York, wishing you all a very blessed and Merry Christmas." And it was down to the second where nothing needed to be edited out, never needed to stop it. I mean, he's just amazing.
Are those still available anywhere?
I don't know if he kept recordings of them or not, but I would like to do that again. That's why I said you planted a seed in my mind. I think during the Christmas season, I will have Bill do that as a special broadcast of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Oh, man, that would be great. I hope you can pull that off. Well, you know, Handel was not old when he died. He was in his 50s, I think maybe 59, actually. He had just finished conducting his 30th performance of Messiah. And then I think about a week later died. He's buried in Westminster Abbey in London. And there's a statue, a carving, sculpture, where he is buried of him holding his sheet music from Handel's Messiah. And if you look at the music, it's the page that has the song, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives."
Wow.
So you can see why Handel was one of my heroes. Another hero of the 18th century of mine was a man who lived in the middle part of the century called Samuel Davies, D-A-V-I-E-S. In the early part of the 1700s, many of the Calvinists had grown cold. The Calvinists, some of it had become intellectual. They weren't as godly as they were during the days of William Bradford and the Pilgrims and the Puritans in the 1620s and following. And the church was not strong at all that was once strong. So God brought a great revival in the 1740s to New England called the Great Awakening. And it revived Calvinism, Calvinistic theology, and Calvinistic worldview just long enough to get the Constitution written, to get the Declaration written, and to separate from England. Then in the late 1700s, it went on the wane again, Calvinism, in New England. But in the 1740s, the most famous preacher, which about every Christian I'm sure knows, hopefully, is Jonathan Edwards, who is a phenomenon in and of himself. But there were many preachers in the Great Awakening that God used to save many people and to call many people out of their lethargy and their backslidden nature. But one of the greatest, if not the greatest preacher of the Great Awakening of the 1740s was a Virginian by the name of Samuel Davies. He was a Presbyterian in Hanover Presbytery. And, Patrick Henry grew up under his preaching. In fact, that's why Patrick Henry, who's another one of my heroes, was such a powerful public speaker, is listening to the preaching of Samuel Davies. One of my favorite stories, and if you come to my house, I have a book published in 1732 that was in Samuel Davies' library. The book's not that great. But the reason I have the book is because in the right-hand corner of the title page is the signature Samuel Davies. That it's his own signature. So if you come to my house and touch that book, that'll get you 20,000 years off purgatory. So anyway, my favorite story, and there are still books available about Samuel Davies and on Samuel Davies. And I would recommend you look them up on Google. But my favorite story about Samuel Davies, now here is a colonial Virginia Presbyterian preacher. And he is called upon to go and preach to the court of King George of England, the most powerful monarch of his day. So now use your imagination. You've got the royal court. You've got the king and his queen sitting on their thrones. You've got all the lords and ladies sitting around. And here's this Virginia preacher in his black robe standing before him and preaching the doctrines of sovereign grace. Well, the king gets bored, and so he starts talking to his wife, the queen. He doesn't whisper because kings don't have to whisper. And so he was talking out loud to his wife while Samuel Davies was trying to preach.
By the way, there's a book title in there, Kings Don't Have to Whisper. I like that.
Yeah, that is good.
In fact, can we pick up right where you left off, because we have to get to our midway break right now?
Of course, sure.
If anybody would like to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com if you have a question for Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III on proper heroes put in their proper place in the lives of Christians. And this is our longer than normal break, folks, so please be patient. Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize their programming, including Iron Trippin's Iron, geographically to Lake City, Florida. And they do so with their own public service announcements and other local things that they air in the midway portion of the show. While they do that, we simultaneously air our own globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you possibly can, so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize or at least reply to our advertisers to keep them happy. If you cannot patronize them by purchasing their products, using their services, visiting their churches, or supporting their parachurch organizations, which we hope many of you will do, but when you can't do that, at the very least, please reply to the advertisements by saying, "Thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio." That should go a long way to keep our advertisers happy, because remember, folks, we absolutely positively depend upon our advertisers and the financing that comes from them to exist. If they stopped advertising, if all of our advertisers stopped advertising, we would go off the air permanently. So please help keep our advertisers happy and respond to them. Also, please write down your questions and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com for our guest, Joe Moorcraft. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back, so don't go away.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnson and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And since we have mentioned during this discussion today on Christian Heroes, Handel of Handel Messiah's fame, I thought I'd recommend that you get a hold of a book carried by solid-ground-books.com titled Christ in Song, Hymns of Emmanuel from All Ages by the great Philip Schaff. I thought that you would be blessed by this if, in fact, you love Handel's Messiah. If you don't love Handel's Messiah, I would question your regeneration, to be quite honest. But look that up at solid-ground-books.com if you want to just type in Philip Schaff. His last name, or just type in Schaff, S-C-H-A-F as in Frank, F as in Frank, that book will come up. Also, since my guest, Dr. Moorcraft, mentioned Samuel Davies, they also have Sermons of the Reverend Samuel Davies in three volumes at solid-ground-books.com. Just type in the search engine Davies, D-A-V as in Victory, I-E-S. And also, I have a book in mind that everyone should get their hands on by a guest I loved to interview a number of times on this program, Dewey Roberts. He has written a book, Samuel Davies, Apostle to Virginia. Just out of curiosity, Dr. Moorcraft, are you familiar with Dewey Roberts and his books?
I am. He's a friend of mine, and I know that book very well.
Oh, great. Well, I recommend that book to our listeners, and that book you can order from cvbbs.com. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. Just make sure you tell them it is the book Samuel Davies, Apostle to Virginia, by Dewey, D-E-W-E-Y, Roberts. That's a hard name to forget. And it is published by Sola Fide Publications. So I hope you get a hold of that as well. But as far as solid-ground-books.com is concerned, please visit that website frequently and purchase generously, because they are a vital sponsor of this program. Without the continued financial support of solid-ground-books.com, we would likely have to go off the air. They are that important to us. So please visit that website frequently. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Dr. Moorcraft to continue our discussion of part four of the series we began months ago, Proper Heroes Put in Their Proper Places, I just have some important announcements. First of all, continue praying for my brother John, please, 76 years old. In the, actually, he's in a skilled nursing facility now. He was in the hospital in Denton, Texas, Presbyterian hospital there. Now he's in a skilled nursing facility. He has pneumonia, which is very deadly for someone in my brother's condition and age. Not only is he 76 years old, but he also has critical stage emphysema and cancer. So please continue to pray for not only physical healing, but infinitely more important than any of that, salvation. I can give you the praise report that my brother has informed me that he is turning to Christ in prayer daily, which is a very positive sign that he either is born again or is at the very least being drawn by God. Please pray that I receive from my brother fully convincing, crystal clear evidence that he has truly embraced Jesus Christ as his one and only hope for salvation, and his gospel and his death, burial, and resurrection as his only way to enter into the presence of Christ for eternity, which may be in the very near future. So please pray that I hear good news to that extent very soon. Also, folks, please tune in, mark your calendars, listen to this show every day if you can, but tune in this Thursday. I think that you will be fascinated by an interview that we are going to be conducting, God willing, with my dear friend Bill Hill, Pastor William H. Hill, actually, is his full name. Actually, I think it's William F. as in Frank Hill. Sorry about that. He is a PCA pastor. That is the denomination known as the Presbyterian Church in America. And he is going to be giving his assessment on the recent PCA General Assembly. And he was greatly encouraged by this assembly, but not without some reasons for apprehension and further need of fervent prayer for that denomination. He is the pastor of Providence Church in Evansville, Indiana. And that is a PCA congregation. So mark that down your calendars to listen to my interview with Pastor William F., as in Frank Hill, and our discussion on the PCA General Assembly. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please, I'm urging you to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. You could also, if you prefer snail mail, sending in a check the old-fashioned way through the Postal Service. A physical address will appear on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron. You could also advertise with us as long as whatever it is you are desiring to promote is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in order to advertise, but you need to be at the very least promoting something that is compatible with what we believe. So send your emails to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. And as I try to remember to remind you every day, Iron Trip and Zion Radio, one of the primary reasons I started this show back in 2005 was to be a friend, a platform, a helping hand, and an arm of the local Bible-believing church. I never want to do anything that hinders or harms or deters the work of the local church and its pastor, or pastors plural. So please, never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church where you are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. Please never do that. Also, please never plunge your family into a financial crisis by giving to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, to provide for the church and to provide for your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God in Scripture, but if you love the show, you look forward to it every day, you benefit greatly from it, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those commands, providing for church and family, then please help us. We're in urgent need of your finances. In fact, let me publicly thank my guest today, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, for sponsoring this show for an entire year. And we are looking forward to getting those radio commercials, brother. But thank you so much for thinking so highly of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio that you are an instrumental part of getting your congregation to rally behind financial support for us.
More than welcome.
And so please, if you listening can also help us, we really need your help because the coronavirus pandemic hysteria has hurt us greatly financially because it has hurt many in our audience greatly. It sometimes has caused our listeners to lose their jobs, therefore they're giving less or not giving at all. So please help us replenish that which was lost. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click the donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, such as Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and you need a church such as that, obviously any Christian needs to be a member of a local church, or otherwise you are violating a command of Scripture not to forsake the assembling of the brethren and to submit yourselves to local God-appointed elders of local churches. So please, if you are in a situation where you're not a member of a biblically faithful, theologically sound church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I have helped many people all over the planet Earth find churches in their area. I just got an email last week from a dear lady, Susan. I hope you're listening, Susan, who lives in Nairobi, Kenya, asking for Reformed churches in her area. I was able to give her the details on three Reformed Baptist congregations, and I hope she visited at least one of them. Well, obviously, she would only have had the time to visit one of them yesterday, and I hope to hear a good report from her soon that she was blessed. But if you are in the same situation as Susan in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa, send me an email no matter where you live to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send a question into our guest, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And during our discussion on proper heroes put in their proper places before the break, you uttered a fantastic line that I told you should be used as the title of a book, perhaps by you at some point in the future, Kings don't need to whisper. I love that line. But tell us, pick up where you left off there, brother.
Well, before I do, I want to talk just a second about those three volumes of Samuel Davies' sermons that you talked about a while ago.
Uh-huh.
I recommend those to everybody, and I'll tell you a funny story about them. One time I was having a weekend conference for preachers, and I had this doctor that I dearly loved to come and speak at this conference. I knew he didn't share our views on eschatology and things like that, but I also knew he was sound on most things, and I wanted him to come and speak, so I gave him a title to speak on, because I knew he couldn't hurt this subject. And it was Samuel Davies and the preaching of Samuel Davies. So there he is in my church, and he's teaching these preachers about Samuel Davies. And lo and behold, in the middle of it, he said, what made Samuel Davies such a powerful preacher is that in his sermons, he never referred to politics or current events. Well, he knew where he was. He knew he was right there in the midst of my church. and he knew our perspective, but I just smiled because I loved him so much. So then afterwards, during the question and answer period, I said to him, Dr. So-and-so, do you have those three volumes of Samuel Davies' sermons? He said, I do. I said, they're great, aren't they? He said, they are. I said, those first two volumes of evangelistic sermons, they can't be beat, can they? And he said, no, they can't. And I said, that third volume of sermons on politics and current events can't be beat either.
And so he was right. He was wrong then about Samuel Davies.
All he could do is just sort of smile. But anyway.
By the way, I just want to repeat the website. If you want to get that three-volume series, go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
And so we were talking about the time that Samuel Davies, Virginia colonial Presbyterian preacher, was preaching at the court of King James of England. And the king and his queen was there, and the lords and ladies, and he was standing there at the pulpit with his black robe and was preaching the doctrines of grace. And the king got bored and started talking to his wife. And Samuel Davies didn't say anything because it was the king. And the lords and the ladies were sort of embarrassed, but nobody could say anything. And finally, it just got so loud that Samuel Davies could not continue. So Samuel Davies stopped his sermon. And, of course, the king was talking to his bride, and so he didn't realize he stopped. But all the lords and ladies were gasping, what's going to happen next? This preacher's quit preaching. And finally, the king realized Samuel Davies had quit preaching. So the king stopped talking and looked at him. And Samuel Davies looked at the king of England, and he said, Your Majesty, when the lion roars, the beasts of the forest tremble. When the Lord God Almighty speaks, let the kings of the earth keep silent before him.
Amen.
And he finished his sermon without any further interruptions by the king. So
Amen.
That's the kind of courageous preaching we need, is to face down the tyrants.
Amen. Yeah, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about evangelical leaders meeting with various presidents. When they refuse to challenge these presidents on things where they are miserably failing, such as the president's even tolerating infanticide and other things. But
yes, sir. I like John Knox's great quote where he said, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God.
Amen.
But I have a third hero in the 18th century. And this one, many of your hearers, I'm sure, have never heard of. Her name was Phyllis Wheatley. Phyllis Wheatley. Wheatley. She was a black woman. She was born in the early middle 1700s, died in the late middle 1700s. She was born in Africa, in East Africa. She was sold into slavery. And she was owned by the Wheatley family in Massachusetts. She didn't know one word of English. So the Wheatleys taught her English, and she learned to write and speak English fluently in 15 months. And they gave her a good education. They taught her the Bible. They led her to Christ. She read other forms of literature. She lived in America, and she lived in England. And she was a poet. She was the first African-American poet to ever have her poetry published in a book.
Wow.
This, you may be even able to buy the book, but I read the original on Google. You can go to Google and put in Phyllis Wheatley, and there, her book is there, poetry, original book, and you can read every poem she wrote. And the reason she got her book of poetry published in England is because of a very wealthy countess named Countess Huntington. Now, anybody that knows the history of the Reformed faith in the 18th century recognizes the name Countess Huntington.
Yeah, she was also known as Lady Huntington, wasn't she?
Yes, sir, and she was financial supporter of George Whitefield.
That's right.
And in fact, there's a book on her that I haven't read, but I'd love to if you could find it. Countess of Huntington. And so she read Phyllis Wheatley's books and published them. I just read them this afternoon. It's about 150 pages. I just read them this afternoon. They're magnificent. A lot of them are poems to comfort people who have lost spouses or children or parents. To show your education also, a bunch of them are poems based upon old Greek stories and mythology. But she also has a poem on the death of George Whitefield. And her Christianity is explicitly evangelical. So there's not much we know about her, but you can find information on her on Google and look up the name Phyllis Wheatley.
Well, I hope that book is in print because I immediately know who I would like to give that book to. I had a very dear friend, Al Stein. He was an Assemblies of God pastor, but believe it or not, Al, over the course of a decade or so during our friendship, became a full-blown five-point Calvinist.
Wonderful.
And one of his greatest heroes, in fact, I think it was his greatest hero outside of the scripture, was George Whitefield. And I would love to give a copy of that book to his widow.
Oh, that would be great if you could find it.
Yes.
Just look up Phyllis Wheatley, and hopefully it's just one book of poetry, and hopefully you can find it. You know, Whitefield was such a godly man. He's one of my heroes, too, that great awakening period. I've read a great deal on him. I've read his sermons. And I think he's probably the greatest preacher since New Testament times in terms of gifts and ability and power. You know, they didn't have altar calls during George Whitefield's day. But he preached in open fields to thousands of people, led thousands of people to Christ through his sermons. And his voice was so powerful that he could have 30,000 people in the field, and everybody at the back of the crowd could hear him.
Even Benjamin Franklin was astonished by this.
Oh, he was. In fact, the great, what is the great Scottish atheist name? David Hume would walk long ways to hear George Whitefield preach, and he was an atheist. And somebody asked him one time, "Do you believe what George Whitefield preaches?" And he said, "Of course not, but George Whitefield believes what he preaches." So as an old man, he prayed one time. He prayed, "Lord, today may I begin to be a Christian." That he was such a humble man. And he had a young assistant that was a nobody when Whitfield was already famous, and his name was John Wesley. And John Wesley began to preach under Whitfield, and Whitfield mentored him and taught him. Then Wesley became famous. Wesley didn't like Whitfield's Calvinism, and so he would attack Whitfield's Calvinism. And not only attack his Calvinism, but he'd also attack Whitfield with slanderous remarks. And as Wesley was growing in popularity and Whitfield was getting older, some of Whitfield's friends said, you've got to answer Wesley. You've got to answer your critics. And Whitfield said, I'm perfectly willing to wait until Judgment Day to be vindicated. And they said, do you think you'll ever see John Wesley in heaven? And Whitfield said, no, I don't. I'll be so far away from God's throne, and Wesley will be so close, I will not be able to see him for the brightness of God's glory.
Amen. In fact, I don't know if I've ever told you this. I know that my listeners may be tired of hearing this, but George Whitfield's letter to John Wesley on election, which is reprinted by Chapel Library and maybe other publishers, since it's public domain, but when I was a brand new babe in Christ, still wet from baptismal water, I was a vehement anti-Calvinist. I didn't know anything about who Calvin was, or who George Whitfield was, or who John Wesley was, or who Charles Spurgeon was, but it made my stomach turn to hear Calvinism described to me. And some dear friend in the church, now in heaven, Nigel Stone, a brother from England, said to me, I understand you're having a troubled time understanding and embracing Calvinism. Let me give you this booklet. And he gave me George Whitfield's letter to John Wesley in election. I read it, and my first reaction was, oh no, this is true, but I still hate it. But then, within about a month or two, the Lord just totally radically transformed my appreciation for Christ's death, specifically for me as a recipient of his definite atonement. And I just fell in love with these doctrines and the doctrine of election. So, just a little bit of trivia for you on George.
That is pretty good. I would recommend to your hearers George Banner of Truth book by Dalymore on George Whitfield. He was such a powerful preacher on both sides of the Atlantic, and he was buried under the pulpit of a church in New England that is now liberal, and so I'm glad it's just his body that's buried there, because I hate for him to have to hear that sermon every Sunday that are against the Word of God.
Amen. By the way, folks, if you want to get that booklet, go to chapellibrary.org, chapellibrary.org, and look for George Whitfield's letter to John Wesley on election.
I used to have a woman in our church. She's dead now. But I used to have a woman in our church who was a direct descendant of both Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfield. That's some lineage.
Wow.
So George Whitfield was one of my heroes. Also, Phyllis Wheatley, one of my heroes. And there's one more person in the 18th century that is not as famous. I call General John Peter Muhlenberg. General Muhlenberg, before he was a general in the George Washington's army, was a pastor in Pennsylvania. And then the American War of Independence broke out, and he goes to Virginia to raise a regiment. And he pastors a church, and he becomes General John Peter Muhlenberg. There is a poem about 2 pages long I would love to read on your show, but I would never make it through without crying like a baby. It's called The Rising of 1776. You can get it on the internet. Just go and look for the poem, the Rising of 1776. And it's based upon Muhlenberg's life as a pastor. He was a pastor of a church right at the beginning of the American War of Independence. And he's preaching a great sermon. And he says Christians who have been made free in Christ must not only resist tyranny, but must fight for their freedom and defend their freedom. And he said to his congregation, "And I call upon you to stand for the freedom we have in Christ." And so he had these black robes that preachers wore on those days. So he tore off his black robe, and underneath the robe was a colonial revolutionary uniform. And he says, "All of you who are for freedom, follow me." And he grabs his rifle, walks out of the church, and all the men follow him. And that's how he formed his regiment.
Now, is that where the term Black Robe Regiment comes from?
Yes, sir. It's that crowd, those preachers that preached against tyranny and preached for the defense of liberty, was the Black Robe Regiment of the American War of Independence. So Muhlenberg is worth reading about, but that poem particularly, The Rising of 1776.
By the way, didn't the British refer to the War of Independence as the Presbyterian War?
Presbyterian Rebellion.
That's
and
right.
The reason for that is there's two wars within 150 years of each other. One was King Charles I's war in England in the 1640s to advance his tyranny over church and state. And that war was called the Episcopal War because he fought for his authority over the church and for the rule of bishops over elected elders. And it was called the Episcopal War, and it was a war to advance tyranny. So in 1776, when the King George of England's ambassador goes back to England to tell him that the colonies have revolted, He said it was called the Presbyterian Rebellion. Not capital P, but small p. These are people who reject the authority of the king in any kind of totalitarian manner, and they believe that Christ is the head of the church and the state, and the king has delegated authority, and if he breaks his covenant with the people, they no longer have the responsibility to keep any covenants with him. Hence, the theological basis of the War of Independence. And so that's why it was called the Presbyterian Rebellion.
In fact, I have heard that the British were especially ruthless and targeted Presbyterian churches here in the American continent during that war.
I wouldn't be surprised. And the ambassador said to the king, "Your Majesty, the colonies have run off with the Presbyterian parson."
Huh. We have a question from an anonymous listener. I'll squeeze this in before the final break. Maybe what I'll do is I'll ask the question, give you time to think about it during the break, and you could answer it when we come back.
Sure.
This anonymous listener says, "I must admit that I am displeased with some of the hymnody we sing in the congregation to which I belong. I was wondering if you could think of hymns that may be famous and frequently used by the church that you would seek to dissuade Christians from singing." And
I would seek to dissuade them?
Yes, in other words, that you don't want them to sing those
things. Oh, yeah, I got you. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to our final break, and you could answer that when we come back.
Okay.
All right. And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, if you want to get in line and ask a question of your own before we run out of time. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur.
I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
¶¶
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessialan 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen and Dr. Moorcraft. Our last listener who chose to remain anonymous asked, what hymns should the church not sing?
That is a great question, because there's nothing that shows the immaturity and the shallowness of the 21st century church like its singing. That its singing is shallow, it lacks theological correctness, it lacks beauty, the words are basically repetitive, and the tunes, where the words are true, the tunes don't have the same majesty as the words. So if there's anything that shows where a church is, it's the way it sings. I like Charlemagne. Charlemagne, you know, was the king of the Frankish kingdom in the Middle Ages. And he would go all over his Frankish kingdom, which is now France. And he would go incognito. Nobody knew what he looked like, even though he was the emperor. And if a priest in a worship service was not enthusiastically leading congregational singing or enthusiastically reading the scripture, he would fire him and send him to some monastery where he'd live the rest of his life. As a result, during Charlemagne's reign, there was a lot of good singing and scripture reading in the churches. But anyway, it is amazing to me. People, I don't think they think about the words, because it's not the truth of the words that moves people today. It's the rhythm of the song. It's the beat.
Now, isn't one hymn that really is devoid of actual scriptural truth a very popular hymn known as the Battle Hymn of the Republic?
You are asking the wrong guy for that.
Well, the hymn of the War of Northern Aggression.
The Battle Hymn of the Republic was written by a woman who was tinged by Unitarianism, and it's about the destruction of the South by Yankee armies. I'm not reading into it. The Battle Hymn of the Republic, about destroying the South, the armies of the Lord destroying the South, and sowing God's wrath upon us. So I never sing that. Even if it's sung in a church I'm visiting, I refuse to sing it. The Battle Hymn of the Republic should not be in any hymn book. In my opinion, it should never have been written. But
I love the melody, though.
Sir?
I love the melody, though.
The melody's great. We're going to have to write words to the melody, because the melody is very good. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, and the coming of the Lord means the armies of the North invading the South, stamping out the vintage where grapes of wrath are stored. And so it's talking about the Northern armies stamping out the South where where slavery took place. But that's another subject. I don't think, now there are some great patriotic songs, but I don't think patriotic songs should be sung in church, because patriotic songs, though they're great in their place, do not have as their object God. Praise in a worship service is to be offered to God. It's about God to God, and not in praise of the country. I mean, I love the Star Spangled Banner. My favorite song is My Country, 'Tis of Thee. These are great songs, but they're not to be sung in a worship service. And so, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, Becky said I said the wrong thing. but there are other songs. I was talking to somebody recently about, I said, now, the hymns in our church, when you come and visit in our church, you probably never heard before, because they're old. He said, yeah, we sing old hymns too in our church back from the 30s, 1930s. I said, no, I'm talking about 1,500 years old. And another thing, I don't like to sing hymns you can waltz to. So, I think waltz tunes are, and you'll have to, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. So that's not only a waltz tune, the words are not true of that song. I come to the garden alone, and he walks with me and talks with me. Where's the church? Where's your union with other Christians? You come to the garden alone, it's just you and Jesus?
I will refrain from announcing a very famous Reformed Christian who actually loved that hymn, but he's in heaven now, though.
Oh, well, that's good. Now he knows better. So there is a great hymn book I would recommend. There's some great hymn books. But I would recommend this hymn book to Presbyterians, Baptists, Episcopalians, Methodists, Church of God, Charismatic, everybody. It's called the Trinity Hymnal.
Amen. That's what we use at Grace Baptist of Carlisle.
Yes, sir. The Trinity Hymnal has great hymns that have been written, many, some in the 20th century, some in the 19th, 18th, 17th, 16th, on back. Some of them go all the way back to having been written by Ambrose, and Ambrose is the man that led Augustine to Christ in the 5th, 4th, and 5th century. Tell your people to go in the back of their hymn book to the index of authors of tunes and words, and see how many of them were written by Ambrose, or by Handel, or by Calvin, or by Martin Luther. We sing in our church the songs that God's people have been singing through the centuries. They're full of truth. They're well written. And the majesty of the music fits the dignity of the words. Now, some of the tunes of the Trinity Hymnal sound more like funeral dirges to me, but other than just a handful, that is a great hymnal. Plus, God commands us to sing psalms. And there are many churches today that have never sung a psalm in their life. So also, see in your hymn book in the back in indexes, how many of them are based upon the Psalms, the 150 Psalms. That shows maturity in the singing of a congregation by whether or not they sing Psalms and God-owned tunes. So we only got a minute, but I'll tell you one more song that's influenced by Pietism and Neoplatonism. Neoplatonism said, it's a pagan philosophy that said that the physical is dirty, the only thing the spiritual is the heavenly. Only thing that's good is the spiritual and heavenly. And it's Sweet Hour of Prayer. Now, I like the song Sweet Hour of Prayer. It's in the Trinity Hymnal. But there's two versions. There's a Neoplatonic version in the last stanza that says, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And the image you get is a copperhead shedding his skin. This robe of flesh, ooh, if we can just get rid of this body, this physical flesh of ours, and someday we'll drop this robe of flesh and just soar into the heavens. Well, that doesn't say much for the resurrection at the end of time. So the Reformed version is, in my immortal flesh, I'll rise.
Amen.
And I'm glad you asked that question. That's a very important question.
And we have some other questions that we do not have time to ask, but since we are going to continue, God willing, this theme, you folks who have not had your questions asked can resend them the next time. One of them involves George Washington, whether you believe he was a genuine Christian or not, because there is disagreement among Christian historians.
All right, let me say, that's easy to answer real quick. There is a big, fat, 600-page book called The Sacred Fire.
Yeah, Peter Lilbeck.
Yes, sir, and the purpose of that book is to show that George Washington was an evangelical Christian. So the argument is over.
Okay, I just want to make sure that our listeners have the website for your church, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please don't forget about westminstercommentary.com. for the 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism by Dr. Moorcraft. And also don't forget about comprehensivechristianity.com, comprehensivechristianity.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Moorcraft. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.